Welcome to Foul Players Radio, your podcast for arts, entertainment, and pop culture. My name is Michael Spedden, your host. Every episode features interesting people with fun, fascinating stories about their journeys in the performing arts. Authors, actors, dancers, writers, musicians, athletes, comics, you name it. Folks who are center stage, backstage, on camera, or behind the scenes. Sit back and listen. Let's have some fun. Foul Players Radio is a production of the Foul Players Group and a proud member of the SJ Network. And welcome again to the Rising from the Ashes edition of Foul Players Radio. My name is Michael Spedden. Tonight we welcome the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker to Foul Players Radio. The law offices of QSB are Matt Brashi, Greg Pettix, and Brandon Haggerty. According to their website, their show is entertainment for the deranged. Three grizzled friends who can't stay on topic, discussing music, politics, pop culture, and who knows what else. Why are you listening to them? You should really rethink that. We discussed many things in this episode, such as how Matt knew I was from Dundalk without ever meeting me, the Baltimore music scene of the 80s and 90s, John Waters movies, and so much more. You can find their podcast at www.qsblaw.org. By the way, check it out and be sure to listen to Season 2, Client 6. In that episode, you may hear somebody you know. I'm just saying. Subscribe for free at www.foulplayersradio.com or listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Deezer, Listen Notes, Player FM, Podcast Index, Overcast, Castro, CastBox, or PodFriend. Or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The Foul Players of Perryville are now booking murder mystery shows for the late summer and fall of 2021. Indoor or outdoor venues, trains, boats, office parties, fundraisers, or just for the heck of it. 443-600-0446. Our website is www.foulplayersofperryville.com. Or you can email us at foulplayersperryville@yahoo.com. We'll be back with the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker right after these words.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Chris Rastalli of Breaking the Fourth Wall. If you enjoy our show, you can find it on YouTube. Just look up Realm of the Mist Entertainment, or just look up Realm of the Mist Entertainment on Anchor.fm, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, or wherever quality podcasts can be heard. And also, you can find us on all the social medias. Just look for Realm of the Mist Entertainment, and I will catch you on the other side.
I'm Michael, the host of the semi-monthly podcast, In a City Like Yours. Join me as I chat with interesting people with interesting life stories. You can listen to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can follow us on Twitter at IACLYS Podcast, as well as on Facebook and Instagram at In a City Like Yours Podcast. Please feel free to let me know what you think. And keep coming back for the many interesting stories in a city like yours.
Hey, this is Don Smith from the Life Radio Show. If you've always wanted to learn more about the world of low-budget filmmaking and even lower-budget comedy, tune into the Life Radio Show. You can live stream the show at WWSU1069.org on Tuesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, or find us wherever you find podcasts and like and follow the Life Radio Show on Facebook for live video and other shenanigans.
Hey, what's up? This is Christopher Stolle of Realm of the Mist Entertainment. The podcast you are listening to is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com. That's s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and information on those shows, as well as information and ability to contact publicist Steve Joyner for more information. Just go to the website and check out the family. Ladies and gentlemen, until then, enjoy the show.
Welcome. Welcome to Foul Players Radio. Tonight we have, from the podcast, the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker, we have Matt Bracci, Greg Pettix, and Brendan Haggerty. Welcome, gentlemen. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I was looking at your website for your podcast, and it looks like you've got a lot of great, interesting interviews on there with some really good guests. Liz Priestley has been a guest of mine. I've got Tim McLaughlin coming up here. Larry Hankins, also a great guest. You know, how do you like sitting down and talking to these folks?
It's fun. Larry Hankin had so many amazing stories. I could talk to that guy for like 5 hours.
You know something? You could probably do a multiple, many, many episodes just with him, with all the stories that he has and, just so much. And I really, tried to ask a lot of diverse questions when I had him on. You know, I was asking a bit, back about, planes, trains, and automobiles. He told me some really interesting stories about, the filming of that. Some of the other, films of that era that he did, Home Alone, getting the part for that. But then also, talking about the things that he did, earlier on in his career was really interesting. Quite a history there. And that's the kind of thing I really enjoy listening to myself and, also sharing with my guests,
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. A lot of these people, I never heard of any of these people. They're they're all kind of, I don't want to insult them by saying they're not A-list talent,
Sure,
they're talented, but they're not famous.
Right.
But I realized a couple of the interviews, it's like, for example, today we did a podcast with Leland Sklar, a session musician. I've probably seen that guy live. With Hall & Oates in 82 when I saw Hall & Oates. Mm-hmm. And he's played bass lines that I've been listening to since I was a little boy that I loved.
Yeah.
And I just had no idea.
Oh, Phil Collins, too. He was the bass player for Phil Collins and a lot of people.
So, Larry, was just like, he was, I've known that his face my whole life. He's been on every TV show.
Oh yeah.
Movie. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know who he was. I didn't know that was the name,
Right. Yeah. That's the interesting thing about him. He's what I like to call, when I watch TV, that guy. That guy. Definitely. There's that guy that you've seen in a million things. His name may not roll off the tip of your tongue or anything like that, but you're definitely very familiar with him. And
there's a documentary that's actually called That Guy.
Yes, there is.
About
yes.
those mm-hmm. fellas who, you've seen everything. Well, you're one of those That Guys too, aren't you?
I'm hoping to be there one of those days,
people aspiring to be an extra.
Aspiring to be a That Guy, a character.
Oh, God.
Extras don't really get to talk, and I'm allowed to talk now. I had my my third major role, and then I finally was allowed to speak.
When I was in college, I worked at a telemarketing place, and one of the guys who worked there with me was one of those guys in John Waters movies.
Oh, okay.
I think he went by Max at the telemarketing place, but he was in Hairspray. He was the guy who owned the Big and Tall shop, and he was in Pecker. He was the guy who owned the strip club.
Mr. Pinky.
Yeah, that guy. Okay.
That guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
There's a number of John Waters. As you lived here in Baltimore, where I'm from, for a number of years. And there are, he does use locals. There are a lot of local actors around here that he uses on a regular basis. Another one is a guest I have coming up that I've worked with in a number of things called George. His name is George Stover. And, Matt, I'm sure you've probably, kind of knew the difference too when it comes to your John Waters movies. There was,
on John Waters movies. I like the stuff, but I just never really got into the oeuvre.
Okay. I know them all.
Oh, you do? All right. Yeah, all right. So Greg, there's a difference in the movies that he put out in the early 70s versus Hairspray on.
Definitely.
Less dog feces.
Yes. Yes. Well, one story that I've told people that, kind of know about his movies and things, or don't maybe not have that much knowledge. When Hairspray came out, that was the huge hit. I mean, that was the pride of Baltimore for a long time. And not only when it was being filmed here and everything, but then, it came out on video. And for, a good couple of years after that, parents were taking their kids to the video store and grabbing Hairspray, and then they come home and they explain to their kid what the bug and the mashed potato was, and
they're watching all these, they're watching the movie and the dance segments and everything. And they had the kids with their PJs and popcorn and they're all watching and everything. And they have a great time. They take the video back to the store and they look on the shelf and they say, "Oh, honey, look, another John Waters movie."
Oh, no.
This is
get Pink Flamingos. Or
yes,
something.
Pink Flamingos. Why don't we take this one home for the kids? Big mistake.
Oh, I never thought of that. Must have happened a lot.
Oh, yes, it did. I had a number of friends that worked at video stores here. They didn't really carry it like at the Blockbuster videos, but they did have it at the mom and pop ones. Mm-hmm. The ones that were kind of independent, and a number of those stores had to keep it behind the counter, and you had to ask for it. And they explained to you that this was not Hairspray or Crybaby or anything like that. This was a whole different animal.
And, it's kind of rated X, basically. It might as well be rated X, that movie.
It may as well be. I mean, you know, there was some real below the belt stuff in that, you know, and. Yeah.
I do have a question regarding your format in terms of us talking. Uh-huh. Like, how free are we to speak? Is there censorship? Should we censor ourselves? Can we say what we want? It is foul players. Is it just jokes about chickens? Where do we go with this?
Okay, well, I'm glad you asked that, because foul players is, you know how in the 70s and, you know, 80s, we had Second City and then we had Second City TV. The name of my murder mystery group in my, you know, my acting group is the Foul Players of Perryville. And this is Foul Players Radio, you know, it's kind of one of those things. So you're free to speak if you like at all times. With you being a guest, I do kind of encourage that, you know,
well, I mean, it says just speaking the things that we can say, because sometimes. Words come out of our mouths that we can't control.
Oh, okay.
Colorful language.
Oh, yeah. You can cuss if you want. You know, I try to keep it. I try to stay out of sex, politics, and religion. But you know, if you curse, you curse. You know, it's not.
Let's combine all of those.
Yes. Yes.
I have a whole bit on sexy politics as a religion. You know,
sex and politics are as a religion. Okay, sure.
Yeah. So I'll leave that one over there. The
porn stars, though.
well, I mean, you know, that's a part of it for sure, but I mean, it's not entirely the whole thing, you know, since we're talking about John Waters. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of subject matter to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brendan's the POTUS with the mostest.
I see.
Ooh, that was bad.
Well, that was really bad.
So in this case, POTUS is Podcast of the United States of America. What are you talking about, Greg?
I don't know. Just he was trying to mix sex and politics, and that was.
Mm-hmm. I just want to explore the whole chicken thing that Matt brought up. So, you know,
well, there was a.
Where does that take us?
Well, there was a. If you're asking about chickens, there was a chicken scene in Pink Flamingos that was pretty interesting.
Oh yes.
I haven't seen the movie.
Okay, well that's your homework assignment, because when I have you guys back, I expect you to have that down.
Yeah, find all the early works of John Waters, and you'll find they're much different from his later things.
Yes,
and they're basically they're kind of like the Evil Dead movies of Sam Raimi, which were designed to fund his later big budget things.
Right,
that's kind of the way it was with John Waters and his early stuff. It was quite salacious. I mean, he was the first one to make a household name out of a transvestite, if I can use that term. I don't know if that's actually okay to say anymore. Transvestite, that.
Divine.
You
divine,
said it. Eh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if it's like outdated or not, well, you know, as a term.
Well, divine was his claim to fame was being a drag queen, and that was the title that he used. Really, you know. So I guess you could.
Yeah, I think he identified as a man.
Yep. So I guess divine drag queen's a better term than transvestite.
Well, he performed in drag, and yeah, you know, I guess that's what the that type of performer is called, a drag queen. So right. I guess we could say that, you know. I don't see
For years I had no idea what the word drag actually came from, and I found out it means dress as a girl.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Where it goes back like ages.
Huh.
I never knew that either.
No kidding. An acronym. I always kind of wondered when acronyms, you know, words that were formed from acronyms kind of started coming into the language. You know, I mean, I would guess it would
be like hear a lot of those, or radar.
Right. You hear a lot of those when it comes to like the military. You know, the military uses a lot of acronyms as words, you know. Maybe I don't know if it was military based or if it was something that went back even farther.
I don't know.
I think it's because our world has gotten more fast paced. And so like a big Metro Goldwyn Goldwyn Mayer. People didn't want to say it. Everyone was more fast-paced. Mm-hmm. So everyone started abbreviating things. That's what I imagine.
It's different from an acronym, though, Greg. You can't say Moogum and expect people to know what you're talking about.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, you're talking about the Man from U.N.C.L.E. That kind of word.
Well, no, he's talking about, like, scuba. You know what scuba comes from, right? It's an acronym, sexy, but it became a word.
Oh. I was trying to figure it out, but I can't. I got nothing.
It's self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
FUBAR. Oh, that kind of word. I get it.
Yeah, FUBAR, you know, fucked up. Yeah. I'm sorry. Fouled up, since we're on that show, beyond all recognition.
Yes, yes. And fouled up we are. Yeah, FUBAR was a big one that was that was used a lot in World War II, you know.
And SNAFU, which SNAFU. Situation normal, all fouled up.
Yep, yep. That fouled. Was... they used to show Warner Brothers. I guess Warner Brothers were the, you know, they were the ones that did Bugs Bunny. That was the animators that did Bugs Bunny. They used to make during World War II to warn soldiers. They used to make cartoons with like an Elmer Fudd like character who was
his name was Private Snafu.
Private Snafu. And they would warn him about catching venereal disease. And they would also warn him about not telling people things, you know, loose lips sink ships. Of
like not telling them he has a venereal disease.
Right.
Because venereal disease sinks ships.
Yes, that's something I feel that should be kept private at all times.
Especially Private Snafu.
Right. Well, especially during job.
Makes you wonder what's the longest acronym out there. Like, is what if like anti-disestablishmentarianism was an acronym? Like what it would actually stand for?
I know. God, that's all. Jeez, that's a paragraph right there.
Yeah.
Greg, figure that out by the end of the show.
Right.
Okay.
I'll come up with something. A is for apple, N is for
something.
It's for no, I won't do this.
Right, right. That's there was a lot of them that were out. A lot of government agencies and things like that too that have ended up becoming kind of a word that is actually a longer, so they all seem to come from government or military or war.
It's probably because they're trying to get a communication across over a channel that they don't have a lot of time to do it.
Right.
I think or because they got tired of saying things.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because they're jerks.
They want to confuse people.
Frickin' jerks.
I grew up as a Navy brat. I think they just wanted to confuse their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be. Kind of like when you spell in front of your kids when you don't want them to know something, you know?
Oh, yeah, that works for a while. And then you're like, hey, honey, let's get some I-C-E-C-R-E-A-M. And the kid's like, oh, yeah. No, I know. I remember that deal.
That's good. My parents used to speak maybe Spanish. Second grade, you know?
I have a funny story about that, though. I had a friend who lived with us back when I had a first wife. And the friend was an alcoholic, like a recovering alcoholic. And my wife at the time turned to me and she goes, I want to go get some B-E-E-R in front of him. And he's an adult who is older than both of us. And he turns to her and goes, you know, I know how to spell, right?
Mm-hmm. You said that was your first wife?
Yes.
Wow.
Actually, it was funny for all three of us. It's because we had young kids at the time.
Right.
And
right.
She was so used to spelling things out, she decided to spell it out in front of him. Mm. Like it's a bad thing for him to know.
Right.
We're going to get beer because he's a recovering alcoholic. Anyway.
Well, too, what my parents used to do once we learned how to spell when we got into elementary school and could listen to things and spell them, they started doing Pig Latin.
How long did it take you to figure that out, though, to crack the code?
Oh, well, I don't know. I went over to my grandmother's house one time, and I said, what's Pig Latin? And she explained it to me. Yeah, right, right, right. And then she explained it to me, and I was like, oh, okay. So then I kind of knew how to listen to it, and I could figure that out. And
yeah, my parents were both
junior high,
so they would just speak Spanish. I couldn't crack that code.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, there was, I think junior high or high school, there the girls had worked out some new language so that the boys couldn't figure out what they're saying. They did just call it gibberish, but it was like this weird thing. Mm-hmm. So I'll say a term of it because we eventually figured it out. So what I got did again, you to go say to gay, two to go me to gay, which is what you say to me. So they just added this idiot thing to it.
You know, oh,
it was, if you weren't familiar with it, it just sounded, what was that, Greg?
brilliant linguists. High school kids made up their own language. It's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a take on Pig Latin, you know, it's just right, adding these interesting syllables to it. But yeah, it's funny what people do to try and not be understood by others.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like sign
did anyone ever call somebody thinking these girls were having a stroke or
only after they were writhing on the ground and like foam was coming out of their mouths.
That nobody called an exorcist or anything.
Somebody call somebody.
Anybody sprinkle water on them and have it sizzle or something.
The power of Christ compels you.
Yeah. Do your homework.
I tell you.
So could you tell us about Foul Players Radio?
I can. Really?
Radio? Like,
well, do
radio?
We want to interview him right now, Greg, or should we let him interview us?
You're right. I kind of do, but you're right. I forgot.
I could give you a brief explanation if you like.
Yes, sure. For all of your listeners who've never heard you say this before.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So for the people who've been listening to me for the past 3 years, you really have no clue what I'm doing. Really, I started this as kind of an oral history of arts and entertainment, the performing arts in the Mid-Atlantic area. You know, as you are probably familiar, you know, there are, of course, you know, the television shows we see on major networks where we know all these actors and know all these movie stars, but there are people in this region that were, you know, there are some bands in this region. I'm sure, Matt, you probably remember from living here that you may not know the minute you step out of the Mid-Atlantic region, but around here, they're like the Rolling Stones, you know?
I mean, like Crack the Sky?
Crack the Sky, exactly.
You know, I told one of my kids about that band, and mm-hmm. the next thing I knew, he had totally dug into their discography mm-hmm. and was asking me if I could find tracks of theirs in karaoke. I'm like going, how do you know about this band? He's like, well, you mentioned them once. I'm like, and you know everything they've done now? I'm like, what is that? I'm like, that's the world we live in. Is everything's on YouTube or available on the internet. And he just got into Crack the Sky. And I remember I first heard about them. A friend in college was like, you don't know who Crack the Sky is? I'm like, nope, I have no idea.
Yep. You did before you left Maryland, though, because they wouldn't have let you leave.
But I used to go down to a lot of bars downtown Baltimore and see a lot of bands. You know, I had a friend who had a band that was doing well for a little bit, and then they kind of petered away. It was a band called Red Tape. Mm-hmm. And I had one of their albums, went to their gigs a number of times. But yeah, I have a lot of fond memories
right.
of being down at Fells Point.
Fells Point, sure. Now, what years were you here, Matt?
Between 84 and 89.
Okay.
When I was in the Baltimore area, I like lived in Talisman. I also lived in Baltimore for a bit. I lived in Cockeysville.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I've got family still in Baltimore and in Perry Hall, not Perryville.
Okay. Okay.
And lots of different other places in the area.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's great. So you were here during that time and you got to see what it was like. And that was kind of the years, mostly with me when I was a musician between like 87 and 94 were the biggest years when I was playing, you know, in bands and stuff like that. So you probably remember, you know, Fells Point, you probably went to EJ Bugs and Max's.
Max's on Broadway. I remember that one.
Yeah. The Rage.
I guess
Maxwell's. Let me see. Towson, you probably went to Gators. You probably went to Gators. What else was there? Schaefer's. Was a big Towson bar.
Sounds familiar, right? Yeah,
Did you go to that bar that was in Pecker, the John Waters movie?
Well, you know, John Waters used to go to a place called the Club Charles in Baltimore.
Club Charles and Signals, like the place too. Yeah,
hung out. And does the pink hippo still exist?
No. That was closed a couple of years ago. There was an article.
It lasted that long, huh?
Yeah. It did. I think maybe. Somebody put something on Facebook that it closed, I guess, I want to think about maybe two or three years ago.
Also went to Hammer Jack's, got thrown out of Hammer Jack's with a friend of mine because he was a moron.
Oh, yeah. And, well,
he was hanging from the rafters at like the upper level of that bar. This is like one of the largest nightclubs I've ever seen. And at the time, they said they were the biggest one on the East Coast, but they had like three or four stories, and we were at the top level, and my friend was like hanging from the rafters.
Oh, wow.
And a bouncer came up, and my friend, of course, decides to put his foot in the face of the bouncer.
Oh, geez.
He didn't take kindly to it, basically dragged him off of the rafters, took him down. And I'm like, all right, well, so much for our time today. So
oh, yeah, yeah.
I grabbed his glasses like off the floor as he was dragged down the stairs and out the building. So that was Hammerjack. I saw Nazareth at Hammerjack's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think Soft White Underbelly, which was the
Blue Oyster
original Cult. Name for Blue Oyster Cult. Right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, you're bringing back all these memories. What the hell?
Oh, yeah.
I left all that behind me.
You, as soon as you leave Baltimore, you kind of take a shower, you know, a good shower. That's great. Yeah, that's Hammerjack's was a huge part of the music scene here, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, I had a couple of episodes back, I had the fellow who actually booked all the talent at Hammerjack's. You know,
no kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Bud Becker. And he worked with a lot of clubs in the area back in those days. Just booking talent and stuff like that. That's the kind of things that I originally was really trying to capture with my podcast. And then I've kind of moved on to getting, you know, out of state, you know, people that are out of state from me, like you guys, and people that are, national, actors and people that have worked at the, you know, national level, I guess you could say, as compared to local or regional. So that was kind of what I was hoping to do with my podcast, what I'm still kind of doing here.
I think a lot of cities need that. Like every city has its own little scene that a lot of great bands that never really did anything, but everyone knew them and loved them.
Right.
That's important stuff you're doing. I like that.
Well, thank you. So you guys are, now where are you from originally, Matt?
Well, I was a Navy brat like Brendan. My parents, we moved all over the place. I was born in Annapolis, but I never lived there.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it's like I lived in Washington State a couple of times. I lived in Ecuador. I went to high school in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
I went to junior high in Washington State. I went to school in Pennsylvania and Virginia. I lived in the DC area for about 14 years.
Okay.
I left the Baltimore area. So I did get to Baltimore every so often, you know. It's like, I went to the power station, I think it was called, is
yes.
Like an amusement park type thing for a while.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then there was like, there was some kids thing that I used to take my kids to that was downtown in Baltimore. So yeah, I have like lots of fond memories of Baltimore.
The power plant probably you're talking about, and then Port Discovery maybe.
Yeah, I think that's what it was called for kids. They had like this three-story tree kids could climb up, you know. A miniature soccer field inside
the building. Matt actually lived in Ecuador during the infamous tuna wars.
Oh, wow.
He was there.
Yes.
Yep. Now,
I was in the Philippines when Aquino was shot. I was in
wow.
So anyway, and I'm in the Portland area when there's riots going on. So things are in
the lightning rod.
That's right.
Right.
A lightning rod for international events that I have nothing to do with.
Right.
And I'm not really near, but I'm kind of sort of near.
Okay. Now, Greg, you just mentioned your parents spoke Spanish to try to get things past you. Are your parents, did you grow up speaking Spanish in your home? Or are they from another country, or where did you grow up?
My mom's Hispanic. Okay. My dad's Italian, but they actually met because she was like the TA in the Spanish class.
Oh,
and because he had a crush on her, he got really into Spanish and made sure to be in that class. So he's Italian. He was Italian, and he spoke fluently, but they never taught us Spanish because I think they liked the fact that they had this secret language. They don't want us to crack the code.
Right.
Spanish is a secret language? I had no idea.
To them it was. Yeah, it was. That's how they talk to us in front of us instead of spelling things.
Yeah. Oh, Spanish and Italian are close in a lot of ways too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was in Italy, I actually like spoke pidgin Spanish because I have a little Spanish.
Oh, okay.
That is appropriate sometimes. For foul players, Greg, that you're speaking pidgin Spanish.
Yes. But I was amazed.
Thank how you, brother. Well it worked.
Did people throw you little pieces of popcorn and stuff when you were speaking?
We still do.
Matt walked around like this. Greg was like,
yeah.
Hola.
And so Brendan, you moved around a lot too. I guess you came from a military family as well.
Yeah. I was born in San Diego.
Navy base area, right?
Yeah. Did some growing up in Albuquerque after the parents divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up in Seattle, Washington, where I did most of my growing up.
Okay. 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 Now, what brought the three of you together? How did you all know each other and decide to put this podcast together?
Oh, well, that's... Go ahead, Greg. I would rather you tell the story anyway, Greg. So go ahead.
Witness relocation, mostly.
We don't actually know each other. This is an accident.
Oh, okay.
A judge sent us. We did a crime, and a judge sent us sentenced us to this. We have to do a podcast every week and annoy each other.
So basically, the FBI told you all to come on here and pretend you knew each other, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just act natural, and they're probably behind your cameras, like feeding you things to say and stuff.
Yeah, we are the Trump Russian connection.
Okay, right
here.
Yeah,
exactly. You can call me Grigor.
Yeah.
Grigor. So Greg, tell us, Greg, how did this whole podcast come about? What happened? How did we do this?
Well, I met Matt in Portland. Matt is I would say, prominent karaoke host in Portland.
Oh, okay.
He's a very good KJ, and I went to his show as much as I could, and we started kind of palling around every now and then, and he had this idea.
Well, actually, that happened years later.
Yeah, I know, but I think a year before we did it, you had this idea percolating in your head, like Senka, and you were like, we should have a podcast. We always have these ridiculous conversations for hours. Just random, just totally meandering conversations. And then we did a couple episodes. And then Matt realized that we need something new. We need something to spice it up. And he's known, you can tell the story about Brendan. You've known Brendan for what, 30 years?
I don't think we've ever heard Brendan's take on this and why he decided to stick around.
Yeah, it is kind of odd.
I really don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. I talked to my wife about it.
Your therapist.
If I had a minister, I'd talk to him about it. But I don't really know, other than the fact that, you know, once the pandemic really hit, this was the extent of my social life. So I quit my corporate job about, I don't know, maybe a year before Matt contacted me. So I've been self-quarantined since, you know, early mid 2019.
Okay.
Just working from home, homeschooling my kid, being a weirdo. And then they contacted me and said, "Oh, would you like to do a podcast?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why not? What else am I doing on a Wednesday night?" And here I am.
So you were quarantined.
Brendan came out on our third episode.
Okay. And he's like our Fonzie.
Okay.
Under file, oh God, that's a lot coming from Greg, because Greg has got a whole Fonzie fetish thing.
Yeah, no, Greg has been saying that since Brendan came on the show. He's like, yes, mainly I wanted Brendan to be on because I knew that he could have conversations like this with us,
right.
And he would be a good foil for me because I tend to run a little roughshod over Greg, and okay. Brendan is really good at. Is run at pulling reins on me so that I'm not overly mean or abusive to Greg.
So. I have Stockholm syndrome at this point.
Greg lives in a shoebox under my stairs.
I strangely became the Florida voice of reason to a couple of liberals from Portland. So it's a real interesting mix.
I'm more of a moderate than a liberal, but I'm liberal to people in Florida, I think.
Right.
I'm
right,
a flaming liberal right here, proudly.
Yeah. All of that is also kind of when you come into perspective, depending on what part of the country that you're from, you know, because who could be considered far right could be considered far left or moderate in other parts of the country, and far left could be considered to be center of the line in other parts of the country too. So it kind of depends on who you ask, you know.
I went back and visited friends on the West Coast after having lived here and been just derailed by Florida people as this flaming libtard liberal lunatic. Mm-hmm. I get up there, I said, I think 5 words, and one of my friends goes, "I had no idea you were such a right wing nut job." And I'm like, "Wow, really?"
Well, I'm pretty liberal, and some of the kids in Portland, because I, you know, when things were open up, I'd go to a lot of bars and do karaoke. Mm-hmm. Some of these young kids would like, I would just say the wrong word. Like, for example, transvestite. And in their eyes, I was instantly a deplorable. Oh. I was like, you're a Fox News watching old white male. And I'm like, I'm more liberal than you, motherfucker. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's,
I just said the wrong word.
Right. And it's not like you were condemning anybody or meant any harm to anybody by saying that. You know, you just said the word that you knew was described the thing, you know?
I made out with transvestite.
Yeah.
Described, you know, the thing or lack thereof, depending upon where the person is at in the process.
Or you were just the word that was used to define the term, I guess we could say, you know, you don't mean to harm anybody, but that's the thing, you know, even just a word. And you guys are right about that. You know, just saying the wrong word nowadays will get you, you know.
Oh, yeah. Don't get into like pronoun issues, because I just get confused.
Yeah,
I do, too. I still don't get that.
Yeah, I think if we just call everybody X, we'll be safe.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It's the X over there. Get X that thing.
Right.
Yeah, so, that's what X is talking about.
So Matt and I met and worked in sort of the public relations industry, and we met in DC. We were actually roommates for a while.
Okay.
Which is when he started talking about the recovering alcoholic and his ex-wife. I'm like, he's not talking about me.
Yeah, this is after you and Holly had moved to Florida.
Like, I don't remember him and his ex spelling beer in front of me, but I would have called him out on it. But I don't know that I was ever recovering necessarily.
Right, right.
You got it all covered.
Yeah. I'm just covered. Yeah, basically.
He's an upholstering alcoholic.
An upholstering, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I guess they could say that, you know, you're recovering, you know, but you're like, you know, what if you're still enjoying yourself? You know, I don't need to recover yet. I'm still enjoying myself. You know, nothing bad has happened yet that I need to recover from.
So I think you're not an alcoholic if you don't have a drink in your hand. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's only unless you have a drink in your hand can you be considered an alcoholic. So I think I think alcoholic is a misnomer for people.
Yeah,
you know, I consider myself a recovering alcoholic because every night I go to sleep, I pass out, and I recover. And the next day I can start drinking again.
Okay. So I remember one time I heard a stand-up comic, I think it was Robin Harris, say, "I'm not an alcoholic, I'm a drunk. Alcoholics got to go to those damn meetings."
I think that's a good differentiation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. How do you know, when's an alcoholic? It's when they go to the meeting. Or when they
I call myself a drunkaholic because I know drinking's not good, and I know I have a problem. I know I probably couldn't stop. If you forced me to stop, I'd probably get the shakes. You know, I
drunkahol a liquid.
It's good. You should try it. It's a little Bacardi. It's a little schnapps. You just mix it all up. But I'm a drunkaholic because I think they invented booze for a reason, because life is fucking hard sometimes. You can't figure your way out of problems. I know getting drunk makes you dumb. Maybe you won't do as much in a day, but sometimes you can't figure your way out of life's depression. You're just like, I want to escape for a little while. I want to shut my brain off. I
think they invented alcohol so they could ravage villages and have no conscience about it.
That's part of it. Whatever reason you drink for. Well, like, I want to shut down my brain a little.
I don't even know that it's that highly evolved. I mean, there was this tree by this place that I worked for a while that it had some sort of fruit, because it's Florida, and it would fall and then the fruit would ferment and rot. And nothing was any better than going out when I was a smoker, now 30 days, and smoking cigarettes and watching drunk squirrels. So much fun. The squirrels would eat the fruit. Mm-hmm. And then they would like try to jump up on things that they would normally be able to jump and just like slam into the thing and then fall on the ground and kind of twitch and then get back up. And
So this is a story we need to revisit one of our episodes. Definitely.
So yeah.
Drunk squirrels. It's like nature's meat.
We need the drunk squirrel episode.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, drunk squirrels was a huge part of my afternoon smoke break during a certain period of the year when the fruit would fall off this tree and ferment and we'd like, oh man, game on, it's drunk squirrel time, and we go out.
I was positive you were going to start like some long parable giving us like wise words. There once was a tree where alcohol was formed long, long ago. Instead, it was, you know, outside of my office while I'm taking a cigarette, there's drunk squirrels.
I'll work that up for our next episode.
A friend of mine had a bunch of apple trees on his property. And, you know, the same thing would happen, but deer would come and deer would get drunk from eating the fermenting apples on the ground.
That's got to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Drunk deer, what do they do? I hope they're not driving cars.
No, well, they're running straight at cars instead of running across. They're running straight forward towards them. You know, it's like, go home, deer. You're drunk.
Yeah.
You're not going to beat that tractor trailer. Boom. There you go.
Galloping into traffic.
Yes. Not just trying to cross the road, but trying to challenge an actual car head first. You know,
dancing there's on like cables.
He's like, hold my apple. I'm going in.
Yep, exactly. Hey, watch it here. Hold my apple. Exactly.
Hold my salt lick.
Yeah, right. So, I was looking again, you know, at, you know, you'd mentioned, you know, a couple of folks like, you know, Larry Hankin that you've had on your show, Liz Priestley, you know, up and coming. Do you have anybody coming up that you'd like to announce?
Well, to the person we interviewed today, that's definitely going to be an awesome thing for people to listen to if they're into the music business at all. Mm-hmm. That's Leland Sklar. And that'll be getting released. They'll probably be publishing that tomorrow, more than likely.
Oh, wonderful.
So that should be available by the end of the day tomorrow. Oh, next week, we have a pretty fun interview lined up as well with a guy named Scott Page, who is a saxophonist for Pink Floyd.
Oh,
sure. And also for Toto and for other bands. And he's also part of a Brit Floyd group, which is like a Pink Floyd cover band thing that's happening now too. Who else do we have coming up? Off the top of my head, I can't.
Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction.
Oh, right. Yeah, the drummer for Jane's Addiction is going to be coming up in a few weeks. And he's actually part of that project with Scott Page, which is the Pink Floyd cover thing.
Oh, wonderful. He's
also with like a member of Fishbone as part of that group, too. It's like their own interesting little super group.
Wow. That is cool.
But we're going to have the grandson of Curly from the Three Stooges.
Oh, sure. Okay.
In the next month or two.
Have you interviewed him yet, Michael?
I haven't yet. I've been kind of working my way through the list of folks and, you know, it's just kind of hard juggling the schedule and everything, but
it takes time.
It does. Yeah. It really does. And then
you wish you could get them all in, but it's like, there's just not enough time.
Right. Well, and then, you know, finding the time that's right for them to do it as well, you know, because, they have, you know, the things, their projects that they're working on, you know, they may have, you know, something to go film. They could be working, you know, during this time too, you know, if they're in TV or, you know, performing or music or something like that. And it really kind of, you know, dealing with people's schedules and finding the right time to get them on is, you know, a challenge, definitely. But
I'm really excited. In 3 weeks, we're going to interview Tom Hanks. I'm really excited about that.
Right. No, but we did interview Tim McLaughlin, who met Tom Hanks, and Tom Hanks went to bat for him on a role. So there was that. Actually, in about 2 weeks, we have this pretty well-known psychic, Artie Hoffman, who's going to be on.
Okay.
Yeah. On the 17th I've had Artie of February. On the show. Okay. Yeah. So
I predict that show is going to go great.
I have no idea how that's going to go because fortunately, the three of us are very skeptical of the whole medium,
right?
So to
speak.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping we're polite.
Right.
I'm going to try my best.
So that might be a good episode, or it might be controversial. And Steve Joyner might never hand us another client again. Well. So it all depends on how it goes. I think it'll be fine. It should be interesting. So when you have the psychic on, what did you do? What did you go through with that?
I've had a couple of them on, and I was just asking questions out of curiosity. You know, I was saying, I was, you know, trying to figure out and get them to say, what is it that you actually see? And what is it that you actually know? I mean, I said, you know, for example, you know, could I ask you, you know, when I played, you know, football in school, what was the number on my jersey? You know, and they're like, you know, they wouldn't know that. But there's other things that they do know. And I would say, well, when you get these visions of people, I said, you know, what do you see?
Dollar signs? I mean,
is it like you're looking at like that movie, The Final Destination, where you can predict something bad happening and this thing plays in your head like a movie, or you get a vision like that, or what is it that you get? You know, they both kind of answered the question, you know, a little bit differently for each one that I had. So I had another one on a lady named Jonna Kay a few weeks ago. And I had Artie Hoffman on, I think it was last summer. And so they were both kind of talking about those things. And yeah, they were both, Artie was talking about his books that he has out, and it was pretty interesting. They were both nice people. They were nice people, I thought. And they were just talking about the different kinds of readings that they do. And
you know, the so I'm going to get extra drunk that week so I can shut my brain down a little. So I won't.
Oh, good. Thanks.
I won't want to ask them pointed questions.
Right.
Thanks
right.
for the thanks for no, the
don't
warning.
Be extra drunk, Greg, because that's when we can't understand what you're saying.
That might be for the best.
I think for what it's worth in terms of the whole psychic thing, I mean, there's different types of psychics and all that sort of thing. And having been in, you know, sales a good portion of my life, there is a skill to reading an individual so well, you know, and picking up on clues and guiding a conversation. And one might call this manipulation for sure.
Right.
But there is a talent in doing that and getting them to go, oh my God, yes, my father's name was Marty, and he did die of a heart attack. Which, if you hunt for, I'm getting somebody with M, and they're like, oh, and they react, and you're like, M, if somebody M, like a father, an uncle, an aunt, and they go, my father was Marty. Ah, that's who I've, you know, that's I'm oversimplifying it, but there's a certain amount of that to me that's just fascinating in terms of the human condition and how people will go, oh my God, that was, you know, like some sort of religious experience. The guy picked my father out of a hat and he died of a heart attack, which, you know, most adult men in America die of heart attacks. Anyway, it's not like you're just dealing with statistics at that point, but to the person, it was impactful. And so I guess for me, where it gets weird is when does that become something where you're maybe giving somebody some relief? Maybe they feel like they've connected somehow, or you're just fleecing them for $100. You know, that's the part where I go,
That's my problem too.
For a second, I thought you were actually preparing that as a new career, Brendan. Mm-hmm. I said those things really quick.
I had a friend when I was younger. I had a friend who was a consummate, a con artist type of guy. I can't think of the name of the actor now. It'll come to me, but he looked just like this 80s actor at the time and was about the right age. He was a little older than me, and he would pretend to be that guy, and we would go places and he would get free stuff, and he was just an amazing friend to have, honestly.
And except when he tried to scam you, probably.
He never I didn't have anything to give him because I was just a dirt poor punk rocker guy.
That's good.
Right.
Yeah, I knew a scam artist in Chicago, and it was like, this guy was dumb as a rock when it came to anything else, but he was a genius. He was like watching Einstein at work. He could scam his way into any like rock show, just to be like, oh, I'm a journalist, I'm on the list, and blah blah blah. He would just get whatever he wanted. He'd call up pizza places and just be like, hey, you guys said you were going to send me a free pizza because you screwed up my last order. And he would just brilliantly argue with them for half an hour and then send him a free pizza. Like, it was magical. It was like, wow.
Yeah. That reminds me of that fella, Frank Abagnale, that Leonardo DiCaprio portrayed in Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, my father actually took me to a Rotary Club meeting with him years and years ago, and he was the speaker.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And I got to see him live, and that was just amazing, listening to his story, some of the stuff that he pulled.
Did he rip you off?
Well, was your wallet missing? Yeah. I shook hands with him at the end. All of a sudden, my watch was missing. Just the way... And that is like, it's almost like an entire art form of being able to do these things, you know, con artistry. And again, I'm not saying I would definitely not accuse any of these folks that we mentioned of being con artists or liars or anything like that. But there are, I don't think it's unreasonable to be skeptical of it, you know, to be skeptical of it, because there has been a lot said about it in public. You know, a lot of people have gone on to say, you know, this is how people do it. Just like, you know, you guys had mentioned, you know, they're able to kind of take a conversation and pull it in their direction and tell people what they want to hear.
Right.
People believe these things. So, you know, yeah, more power to them, more power to them. You know, if they're giving somebody something they enjoy, or if, you know, people enjoy getting these readings and it's an important thing to them and they like it, you know, hey, go for it, you know. But
giving someone a little solace after a dear beloved right. is passed, that's a nice thing if you're not exploiting them, you know, if you're not like,
sure.
Give me $1,000 and I'll make you feel a little good.
Yeah. Not a drunken yeah. dear beloved.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, we used to have I was dating this girl a long time ago in the 90s, and we went someplace to have, I don't know if it was having our palms red, or we walked in and they got out a paintbrush and painted our palms. Said that'd be $50. No, or they sat us down, or I think it may have been a tarot card reading or something else. I forget what it was. And then they were like, okay, well, I can tell a little bit about you, but if you want to come back and pay $1,500 and sit in our bathtub with these different kinds of salts, we can tell you a lot more. I was like, okay, yeah, $1,500 is exactly what I had in my pocket, burning a hole in my pocket when I was 25 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of cash I had back then. And I'm going to come sit in your bathtub with bath salts, and you're going to tell me more about my, okay, I see where this is going here. So no, thank you.
They'll tell you that your wallet will get a lot lighter is what they would tell you.
Exactly. You've lost some weight, and that's however much $1,500 weighs in your pocket. You just lost that amount, you know, exactly. Oh boy. But
I love the bathtub angle. That's a whole new thing.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of that one.
Yeah. I'd never heard of that one either, and I didn't participate in it either. So
I think that would
and we're, that we're would, all sad that you didn't.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a franchise opportunity in Florida, possibly.
It could be.
I can open have a new occupation.
Yep.
I absolutely. Can open a whole series of strip mall bathtub psychic reading joints.
Right. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Different layers of bath salts. I don't know.
Yep. It would only fly if you wore a bikini, though, Brendan.
Uh-huh. Yikes! No, we're not going to do that.
And with all,
I draw the line, sir.
Yep,
I am not a scumbag. I would draw the line on that.
And with all those things that you mentioned, you could probably also throw in there, you know, a hair care and tire center. Being in Florida, you know.
Barbecue and feet massage, you know, whatever.
Barbecue, feet massage, psychic baths, hair care, and tires.
Yes.
I think the people in Florida would drink the bath salts, though, in the water. And go crazy.
No. What I would do is, as a side thing, what I do is I'd set up a website, and then I would have the pictures of the different people that were in the bathtubs, and then I would sell the bath water from the people that were in the bathtubs.
Oh, okay.
There's perverts who'd be into that. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
And you could also blackmail the people who were in the bathtub.
Well, that's a red tube.
Just another side business.
That's the dark side of the business, Matt. You weren't supposed to talk about that. Not on our friends Michael's radio show.
I didn't see the business plan. I apologize.
Right.
Man.
I missed that part of the organizational chart.
I'm having you sign an NDA tomorrow. That's it. Enough.
I'm not going to India. I don't care what you say.
And then all the while having your tires rotated and inflated properly. And
oil change.
You definitely get inflated properly in a place like that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now, what part of Florida did you say you were from?
Tampa.
Tampa. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The western side of Florida, the Gulf side.
Go Bucks. Yes.
The Paris of Florida, they call it.
The Paris of Florida. I know.
the Paris of Florida or the Redneck Riviera? Is that it?
It's more the Redneck Riviera. Yeah.
They use that term quite a bit throughout the country, no matter where, wherever there happens to be a redneck city on the water. I think they have that same term for Cincinnati, perhaps, too.
That's hard to imagine, but okay.
Yeah. Exactly. So, fellas, well, look, I've had a great time having you on tonight here. And we're just about out of time. So I would like to give you your opportunity to shamelessly plug as shamelessly as you want to be anything you'd like to shamelessly plug at this point.
Well, I'm selling knitting mittens on Etsy, and I'll give you my Etsy information.
Are they Bernie Sanders mittens?
Yes, Bernie Sanders mittens. I made those mittens.
Our website is www.qsblaw.org.
Okay.
www.qsblaw.org. And if anybody wants to leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts, we'd really appreciate something. We do have one review up there from a guy in North Dakota. We're hoping that we could potentially double our listenership from this show, because we currently have 3 people that we know of that listens to our show.
Okay.
So it's definitely 3. So yeah, if we could double that, it'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. We're definitely trying to make things go big in at least small towns in different parts of the country.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. And looking at where these listeners
are. You said that so sincerely, Michael.
Well, hey, you know, looking at where these listeners are any of them like in Siberia or
No, one's in Asia? New York, one's in Oregon, and one's in North Dakota.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So North we can pinpoint them.
Matt's being silly. actually, the thing that blows my mind, Michael, is that our demographic, that the people that are listening to our podcast are mostly 45 to 60 year old women.
Is that right?
Yes. That right?
That's our Spotify analytics. Yes.
Can't
we're feminists.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Greg is such a sensitive, you know, so we're still trying to figure that out. So if anyone's out there listening and you're in that demographic of a woman between 45 and 60, tune in.
And please explain to us why you're listening.
Exactly.
And we're the podcast for you.
There's one more listener in Portland. They're chained in my basement. So that's one of a very loyal listener.
Okay.
Your basement. Your apartment doesn't have a basement, Greg.
I do. That's where I do my laundry. It's not my basement, but it's across the world.
So you share the captives with the other people in your complex,
right?
Yeah, we all take turns making them listen to our podcast.
I think Michael's trying to end his show.
And that's the message from Portland. Good night, everyone.
QSBlaw.org.
QSBlaw.org. We had the fellas here tonight from the Quibbles, the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker with Matt Bracci, Greg Pettix, and Brendan Haggerty on the show tonight. Guys, thanks for being here. I really enjoyed getting to know you and, you know, chatting a bit, talking some old Baltimore, talking about neighborhood lore and all kinds of other things. And come back anytime. Come back anytime. I'd love to have you again. So
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
We'll see you in like 2 minutes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So folks, Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker, find them anywhere you can find podcasts, and you're listening to Foul Players Radio, and we will see you next time. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks. Good night.
Thank you, Michael.
Howdy. It's Matt Gwynn here, popping in to let you know about the adventures of the albino rhino. It's a show. Frank the Giraffe here, my co-host James Godwin, and myself put on for you guys twice a week. Every Wednesday, we talk to a comedian, and every Friday, we call it Freaky Friday. The show itself is not safe for work, and that freak is definitely a different word. I just don't know what podcast you're going to be listening to this promo on, and I don't want to, start screaming explicatives while you're sitting in your office, if you're lucky enough to have been able to go back to the work that you did before inside of an office or whatever, you know. But we go on an adventure twice a week, and it's a good time because we get to sit down and talk to some really cool people. And I enjoy it because, you know, I'm just curious little albino who likes to get to know folks, you know? You can find us a couple ways, actually multiple ways, really. Man, there's a lot of different ways to find us. You can find us through our central hub, which is www.albinorhino.me. It's the website. Find me on. And then, you know, the podcast, you can find the videos on YouTube. Search for Adventures of the Albino Rhino, also linkable from our website. And you can also find us through Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Radio Public, and Spotify. That's right. We're on the same place Joe Rogan is. Granted, we're not the Joe Rogan Experience, but you know what I mean? We're there. So give us a listen. Promise you won't be dissatisfied. And enjoy your day.
What is going on, minions? Mike here for Misery Point Radio, and you're listening to the Coast to Coast Power Hour on the SJ Network. Now, I know what you're thinking. Mike, what the F is a Coast to Coast Power Hour? Well, my uneducated and uninformed friend, the Coast to Coast Power Hour is a Borg-like collective of epic podcasters from epic podcasts that have all come together to discuss the important things in life. Pop culture, current events, random awesomeness, stuff like that. Trust me, you need this in your life. For more information on this show and all the shows on the Coast to Coast Power Hour, as well as on the SJ Network, reach out to publicist Steve Joyner at www.s-j-network.com or stevesjnetwork@gmail.com. No need to thank me. I'm just out here, you know, changing lives.
What's Your Effin' Binge is a podcast brought to you by Chris, Anchor, and Spotify. And what we talk to our guest about is what they're currently binge watching on TV. And what we do is we like to take a different approach. I don't want to know what the name of the show is that they're going to talk about before they come on. I have to actually guess it. So I ask them who, what, when, where, why, and try to figure out what it is that they're watching. A lot of times I'm able to guess it, and sometimes I'm not. And that's fine. That adds to the comedy of the show. We like to bring our guest on, whether they're a model or an actress or a producer or musician, and just let them have a platform to be able to tell everybody what they have coming up next, and also entertain everybody with what's worth watching. So I hope everybody tunes in for the next episode of What's Your Effin' Binge. Thanks. It's Chris.